somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
When I was if you need a God who will accept you when you mess up, if you need a God who will be patient with you, if you need a God whose love and forgiveness you can count on no matter what, you have come to the right place. Welcome to another award-winning episode of the monster hit Real Recovery. Tonight, we've got quite a show. This is Bill Arnold with, of course, George Fraser. Hello, George.
I have a God like that, Bill.
You do, don't you?
I do.
And you count on him, don't you?
Every day, all the way.
Yeah. Well, we've got an incredibly great show tonight. And if you are listening and you're avoiding staying home and watching the Oscars, which I think is tonight, I think you've made the right choice.
What?
The Oscars. Academy Awards.
Is that tonight?
It's tonight. But if you're listening to our show, you've made the right choice, so we're glad you're here. You know, George, I pray every week that God, I say, Lord, who do you want on the show this week? And he never says us.
Never.
Never. But.
We're
tonight,
here.
Yeah. We're here. But tonight.
The Oscars are tonight?
Yeah, they're tonight. You know what? You're so out of touch. You're old, George. Seriously,
you don't
go to movies. You don't know what. You don't know anything.
I am a year older than you are, so you got a bad year coming.
Well, it doesn't matter. We've got a great show tonight and a great guest.
We
have a great guest. You know, when we pray, Lord, who do you want on the show? Well, I was led to Karen Green, who is going to be coming up on the show in a little bit. She's got a ministry out of Dallas, Texas, called the Haven of Love, and she helps rescue young women and women who are involved in street life, drugs, prostitution, and she gets them off the street and back into real life.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so we got a great...
redeemed life.
A redeemed life, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. You know, George, this week, Howard Hendricks, a former professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, died, and he left some Howard-isms. I'd like to share a couple of them with you tonight. Are you
Let's
okay
go.
With that?
Oh, yeah.
I think some of these are awfully good. Here's one. Heaven is a person, Jesus. I love that. How big is your God? The size of your God determines the size of everything. I like that. The teacher has not taught until the student has learned. You can feel free to respond to any of these, George.
That one was a little deeper in the first two, until I had to think about that. Wasn't he very instrumental in Chuck Swindoll's life?
He was. The Bible was not given to make us smarter sinners, but to change our lives.
That's a good one.
How about
that.
This one? You can impress people at a distance, but you can impact them only up close.
Like that, too.
Mm-hmm. In the midst of a generation of screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering.
Wow.
We need to speak more clearly, don't we?
Enunciate.
Just to speak the truth in love. If you want to continue leading, you must continue changing.
Yep.
So I think it's kind of neat. You know, he's got Howard-isms. You know, I thought... Some
you can put in a bag and take home with you.
I think there's some tidbits there.
I think you're right.
And I thought, well, this kind of inspired me. I thought, well, you know, he had Howard-isms. Maybe I should start Bill Arnold-isms.
And I'm sure you have a couple.
Well, I've been starting to brainstorm.
Let's go with the Bill-isms.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying this is a comprehensive list. I'm just trying to get started.
Okay.
Okay, for example, this, of course, would be my first one was from what I remember as a young kid. Okay? And that would be, never let your mom clip your toenails when she's upset with your dad.
That's a good one.
I think I went about a week without being able to walk.
You know, your mom listens to our show occasionally.
Yeah, she does. She does. And then another one would be there's a fine line between courting and stalking. And you know all about that,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Got that one. Well, you know, we didn't have to get personal early on the show.
Well,
so.
I think that's what we're good at, is being personal. And, George, let's talk a little bit about the step we're going to.
Well, let's
jump
back up and talk a little bit about what our show is about for people
Why
tuning
don't
in. And we're Real Recovery, and what Real Recovery is, we believe that all Christians are in recovery, that we've changed with the help of Jesus from our old way of life, and you don't have to be an addict or alcoholic to be in recovery, but even our friends in 12-step programs that have abstained from a chemical, we believe addiction and all sin is idolatry, and if you don't have Jesus Christ as your God, you have a recovery that's still idolatrous because there's only one name by which we're saved, and that's Jesus. So what we try to do on this show is we're just two friends who are trying to walk this walk out and learn more about Jesus and have it exhibited in our life. We also volunteer. Bill does down at a Salvation Army inner city ministry, and I work there until next week. And we've been trying to practice what we preach on the air. But what we do, Bill, is every week we talk about a step. There are 12 steps in the 12-step program. But we don't have a higher power. We have the highest power, and that's Jesus Christ.
Well said, George.
Thank you.
Well said.
And tonight,
you have most of that written on your hand, which is good.
Yeah, you know, and I forgot my glasses, so I'm holding them way
over
where
you
are.
I can see that.
Well, tonight we're on step one, where we admit we're powerless over our drugs and alcohol and that our lives are unmanageable. But what we really know, our next breath comes at the mercy of an all-sovereign God. We are powerless over everything, and a lot of us, when we conquer a sin with God's help, we move on to something else. And I'm not here because I have a drinking or drug problem. I'm here because I have a living problem.
Yeah. Who put a nickel in you tonight?
A lot of coffee going on over here, Bill.
I guess so. So tell our listeners what step one is.
We admitted we were powerless over drugs and alcohol and that our life had become unmanageable. And the reason it's unmanageable is we're trying to run it ourselves. We're not created to do that.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't we also say that we are powerless over sin, period?
You bet.
Isn't that another way of putting it?
You can substitute anger, pornography, lust, greed, you know, anything in there, food. We all have God's substitutes. And there's only one answer to fill that hole in all of us, and that is Jesus Christ. So if your God is one you created, you still have the wrong God. And, Bill, you have a great way of talking about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always talk about we need to have a God that we are accountable to, not that's accountable to us.
Yeah, well, we need to have a God that we are accountable to, and we also have to be open to the idea that God can contradict our will. Because if you don't have a God that can contradict your will, you don't have a God.
Well, right. You have you as your God.
Yeah,
right?
You're still calling the shots.
And that's the problem. That's where our life's unmanageable.
You're doing cost-benefit analysis. Right. You know, and that's not obedience. That's tell me what this is going to cost, and I'll tell you if I'm going to do it. Well, that's not obedience.
Right.
So,
you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What we also want to look at is a lot of times my best thinking is totally wrong. And I need to go to a truth source that I can trust all the time. And for me, that's the Bible.
Mm-hmm. I would say your thinking is wrong often.
Hey, you know what I'm thinking now, Bill? I think it's right. But no, that is so true. And we need a sense of community. We need to be in the Word. We have to admit that we're powerless, but we also have to accept it.
You know, George, we often do it in doing this show. We repeat a lot of these principles, but I believe it's important to repeat them because of how important they are. And if you are a person struggling from addiction of any kind, I think you would look at this as a welcome reminder.
Absolutely. For our listeners out there, when we get to the end of our rope and we realize that we cannot do this anymore without God's help, that is not a bad thing. That is a good thing.
What do they call that, the gift of desperation?
Call that the gift of desperation? Or
We've had that in the studio almost every week.
It's coming up now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We call it a moment of mental clarity, and I really think it comes from God. I don't think we can get it on our own. That is the total depravity, Bill, that a dead man does not know that he's dead in his sins. That has to come from the Holy Spirit that quickens you and says, hey, you don't have to live like this. There is a God. It's not you. And you haven't really done it this time. It's not over. There is a way out.
You're preaching tonight, George. Seriously, you're preaching.
I need a job. You know, I lost mine today.
It doesn't matter.
Next week I could be going clear on pump six, you know?
Yeah,
so.
You could. Yeah, you've got that dry clean shirt on tonight, too, with French cuffs. That scares me.
I got my uniform on.
Well, I can see that. Anyway, you know, George, I was looking at some verses associated with step one, and I don't know if these are relevant to step one, so
Let's tell me. Okay, I'll tell you.
All right. How about James 4:10? It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
That's very applicable.
Is that applicable?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was thinking of Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened.
You memorized that. I'm proud of you. That's a long verse.
Thank you. But that's also seems like it is a fitting verse for step one.
Well, how about, you know, Proverbs 14:12, that there is a way that seems right to man that ends in death.
Yeah, that's perfect.
We're going to have battle of the scriptures.
Might
here?
As well. I got a couple more loaded up
here. How
about
Romans 6:23? You got that one?
No. What is it?
Sin is death.
The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right. And that's the important thing here, Bill. we come in with a problem and we focus on the problem, but what we want to do is focus on the solution, and that's Jesus. And our problems bring us to our knees.
Don't use that dramatic voice with me again.
Sorry.
Seriously, it's like all of a sudden you transform into this, oh, this dramatic voice.
I've been practicing.
I know. It's yeah. like, creeps me out.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah. It creeps Alex out, too.
I don't want to creep Alex out.
Yeah, and I really don't want to creep our guest out because she's been...
She hung up a long time ago.
Think she bailed on us a few minutes ago?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. This is really important, and I think for a lot of people out there that are listening, you might have come to the end of the road, but that's just the beginning. You're on the wrong road.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Thank you. Kind of had to redeem myself after the dramatic moment.
I know. You don't do that voice again.
I've never
ever.
Done it. You know.
Well, you've done it before. I just never called you on it.
Okay.
Seriously, I've tolerated it in the past.
Your tolerance is up tonight, isn't it?
No, it's down. It's down because I can't take it tonight.
No, I mean, you're done with me.
Oh, well, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to bring Karen Green, our guest, on. She is from Dallas, Texas, and she is... on the line waiting to join the conversation, and we can't wait to have her on. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Real Recovery. Every time I hear that music, my head starts to bob. Like, bring it on. Hola.
Was that on Sunday nights when we were kids?
Yes. Yeah, started about 8 or 9 o'clock. Striking of the match. Remember that?
Yeah.
Light the fuse. Oh, good. Very cool. Anyway, welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold and George Fraser. We are very excited about our guest this evening. She is lives in Dallas, Texas, and has a ministry. It's called the Haven of Love. .net, and she is in the ministry of helping women recover from a life of living on the street, drugs, prostitution, and getting them into a new life. So, welcome to the program, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so glad you're still on the air.
Really glad you hung with us, Karen. Thank you.
I heard him. I heard him. I said, no, I'm still here.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would love to hear your story, and we'd love our listeners to hear your story. And it kind of started for you as a young girl, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I was a child of my mother and father got divorced when I was like 6, and I was the oldest of all my siblings, and so a lot of responsibility was put on me. My mother worked night and day, which left me in charge. And a lot of times when the mother's out of the home, the kids are uncovered, and a lot of times we were uncovered, and a lot of things happen. And a lot of times when kids are put in that situation, things that happen are out of their control. And through that experience, we used to, this guy that lived next door was one of the people my mom would have watch us. And every day he would call me over to the house and, you know, have me do certain things and raise my dress up. And he would touch my legs. And when he would finish, he would give me money and send me up the street to get candy. And because he was my authority figure, I didn't think anything about it, but I knew something wasn't right about it. So that went on for a while. And one day he called me over there and he asked me, would I allow his son to do or to lay on top of me? And I did. I did that because he was my authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the cycle began.
Mm-hmm.
Things started happening. And I would like to say that, you know, when you come from such a life of abuse and being taken advantage of as a young child, it has such an effect on your lifestyle when you get to be a certain age. I know by the time I was 13, I had a baby of my own. So
oh,
I was very promiscuous. You know, so I went from taking care of my mom's kid to having a kid myself.
Hmm.
And from there, it led on to more of the streets, drugs. It led to prostitution because eventually I had to stop going to school. I had a baby to take care of. My mother was the sole provider of our home. So I had to... what I had to do to make sure, you know, I survived.
Mm-hmm.
So there were so many different things that happened. You know, my mother came from a generation that, you know, being married and having a man in her life, in their life, meant a lot. You know, they sacrificed a lot to have men in their life. And I remember... In the house, my mom began to date a man, and he came, and he also violated me. And when I told my mother about it, you know, she put me out.
Oh, my. Wow.
Okay. So my life was on a downward spiral from there. You know, the very person that I thought would cover me and secure me was the very person that, you know, really did the damage to me. So... my life was based on if I couldn't trust my mother, whom I really, you know, that really I looked for security and covering, but then who can I trust? So I went on to the street and began to do what I had to do to survive. You know, you said something about my ministry. My ministry is a ministry of hope. Because I can remember a lot of times the things that I did to survive. And a lot of times people think prostitution is something that the women choose. But sometimes it's a way of survival. It's the only thing that they know to survive. Me being uneducated, having a baby, I didn't know how to survive. All I knew was what I was introduced to and what was a part of my environment, and that was drugs and prostitution. So remembering the things that happened and how the guy gave me money for, you know, touching me, that's what I did. I remember him telling me my body was, you know, just beautiful and I had big legs and that draws the attention I needed, and I used that to survive.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my passion is so great for the ministry, because a lot of those women out there, they have no hope. They feel they have no hope. You know, they feel like they don't have another choice. And today, through the power of God, I know that there is another choice, because I found that choice. I found that hope in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
You talked about step one, admitting you were powerless. I had to come to the end of myself and say, you know what? I know the way that I'm doing this, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I've got to surrender. And I remember, you know, before my mom and father got a divorce, my father was a pastor. And I remember being in the church and they saying, you know, if anything... you know, it's too hard for you. It's just right for God, you know.
Mm.
I remember that, you know. I remember walking the streets and praying to the Lord, you know, because I knew him of my mother and father, but I didn't know him of myself. and not really knowing what was going to happen or how I was going to, but I prayed. I prayed to the Lord. And a lot of times when I'm out there and and they're bringing the women in off the street, my first prayer is, God, give them an open heart to hear you, to hear and let them know that there is another choice, that there is hope. And just give me the words to say that will just, at this moment, God, just that will give them just the ear to hear. And as soon as they come in and I have the opportunity, I begin to let them know that I come from the lifestyle. And if there's hope for me, there's hope for them. And through that, I birthed this ministry. And the hope I received was Jesus Christ. Mm. And that's what I tell them.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Can we get you to back up a little bit and talk about the delivering? What brought you to Jesus and how were you delivered? Could we talk about that?
Yes, you can. I was out there for, I went onto the streets and I was out there for 15 years.
And Karen, how old were you when you started being on the streets?
Let me tell you. I was, as they call, tricking, or I was prostituting before I got to the street.
Okay.
So I say 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had the older men to survive, Your question again, what was it?
What transpired to get you to your bottom that led you to your deliverance with Jesus?
As going through that, things started happening. I started going in and out of jail. I knew there was an answer. And I was seeking the answer because, I knew that, that what I was doing wasn't, it wasn't the answer. So I was taking myself and I was putting myself in treatment. I went to 9 treatment programs trying to get this together, And each time I went in and I came back out, I thought I had it, but I went right on back doing the things that I was doing. I ended up with felony cases, in and out of jail periodically. I lost count of how many times I went to jail. But I ended up on a deferred judicated probation, and they told me if I did one more thing, I had quite a few cases, and I was looking at 25 to life.
Wow.
Yes, I was looking at 25 to life. I was very angry. I had a attempted murder case, and I had several assault cases, prostitution cases. Just that lifestyle itself got just really bad. I remember one night going out and like every Friday night and doing my due and going to get the room. But it was something different about that night. I just had gotten tired of the lifestyle. And that night, I don't know, it was just something inside of me. And it said, be still. And so I sat in that motel room and until the day began to break. And when the day began to break, I remember looking out the window and saying, I'm through. I knew they had a warrant for my arrest because the last time I went, I know that I had been using and they, dirty UAs, so I knew they had a warrant for my arrest. And I called my sugar daddy at that time. I hope y'all, if that's all right to say on the radio, but I called him and I told him that I wanted to go and turn myself in. And he started laughing. He said, girl, smoke too much. I'll be there to get you. But I was serious, and I knew if I turned myself in that I knew I was looking at 25 years. And let me tell you something. I didn't even care about those 25 years. All I was concerned about was stop hurting. I hurt so bad that I said, Lord, if it takes 25 years for my life to change, then I'll do it. I don't care nothing about what my life is now. But if it take all 25 of those years for my life to change, I'm willing to do it. So I went and I turned myself in that morning, and when I got there, they couldn't even find the warrant. But anyway, they finally found the warrant, and they took me on in, and I went to court, and the judge that I had, he didn't even want me in his courtroom. He told me to sit outside his courtroom, and he said he was just going to give me all the 25 years because, you know, he told me not to come back, but I was there. And let me tell you that we serve such an awesome God that he sent a court-appointed attorney, you know, and this attorney went in and he advocates for me. And the judge told him that he would give me one more chance.
Wow.
And, yes.
Nice.
And that was the grace of God. But you know what? I didn't even care. I didn't even care. You know, if he would have said 25, I just would have went on. But God had a plan. And I did not even know at that time that he had a plan. But anyway, he came in and he advocated for me, and I went on down to Huntsville. And they had a program down there where they were taking women that had been in there quite a few times, and these women were looking at big time. And some of these women were doing time. But what they were concerned about was, why were these women repeated offenders? What was going on? So they put together a team of counselors, and they put together a team of administrative counseling, intense counseling. And I used to group with these women. And these women would talk about the molestation, the incest. They would talk about, you know, the beatings. You know, they would talk about how they were abused, you know. These women were hurting, and the offenses that they done were done out of the pain that they had endured. They had no way to outlet that.
Mm.
That was just rage and anger inside them. Some of them had murder cases where they had killed, you know, their husband, you know, and all of that was because of abuse.
Wow.
But women got down there, and they got real, and they began to talk about those problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I got real, too.
Wow. We want to continue with more of the reality of your story, because it's amazing. We're going to just take a very short break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold and George Fraser will be back in just a second. This is Faith Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. I could sit and listen to that song for a while.
Who is that?
Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder.
Tapestry? Can't be. No. After that, right?
No. It's a later album.
That's what I said.
Anyway, Bill Arnold and George Fraser, you'll realize at the end of this show we are either trained professionals or we have no training at all.
I'm going to go with that one right there.
One or the other.
I want to get back story, don't you?
Yeah, me too. We're talking to Karen Green. Karen is out of Dallas, Texas, and she's got a ministry called havenoflove.net, and she helps rescue women just like herself who once working the streets doing drugs and prostitution, and it's the love of Jesus Christ that brought her to a place of complete transformation, and now she's sharing that with others. And Karen, when we left off, you were sharing about the group of women that you were talking to at the Huntsville prison and how everybody was opening up to you. Can you continue on that? Because that was very interesting.
Well, the reason, you know, I want to explain something. The reason why I took this route is because in recovery, a lot of times, you know, we go through recovery and we wonder why is it that this has become a revolving door or a continuous cycle. And I wanted to say, unless we deal with the root issue, there is no, you know, recovery.
Amen.
Started talking about these root issues being incest, molestation, or mental and emotional abuse, you know. These are root issues, you know, that have to be dealt with, you know. And as they are confronted and you bring those things to the surface, what that does, it makes room for the Spirit of God. Let me say this, because as those women began to talk and began to release, you know, I can remember going to the church. They had a chapel, and this is me, you know, going to that chapel. And at that particular time, you know, they were playing a tape. You know, I went to the chapel just to get out of the dorm with those other women, those 56 other women, and I went to church. And I didn't do church because church had been so damaging to me in the past. But I went to church to get out of the dorm with those women. And when I went to church that particular Sunday, you know, I remember hearing the word of God. And it was the same word that I used to hear my daddy preach, but it was something different about the word. And what happened that day is I surrendered. And, you know, I admitted I was powerless. And I turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And there was room to receive the Spirit of God because I had begun to deal with those issues. I said before that I had went through 9 treatment programs trying to get this together, but did not know that I had to deal with the root issue. I heard you say something. You said that, you know, we as people, not even just being on drugs, we have life problems, you know. We have a living problem, and that problem is stemmed from the where we come from, what we have been exposed to, what our life was as a child. And unless we deal with those issues and allow God to come in, our life won't change. But there was room once, you know, I kind of processed that through. I often tell the story, you know, that I remember going to a chapel service and the guy began to talk about what happens when you really come to and you have an encounter with God and with the Holy Spirit. It says, you know, when we live our life, there are so many offenses in our life, and it covers our soul, and our soul is darkened. And when you're blind, you can't see. But he says what the Word of God does, it comes back and it begins to peel back the layers that your soul can get life and you can begin to live. And when I heard that, I said, God, that's what you're doing. Mm. All of this time, you know, I was 36 before, you know, that came, you know, that understanding came, that the Word of God brought life. It brought life, and it shed light in those dark areas. But what happened, I had to begin to empty myself out. One of the things that I teach, I mean, I have a support group through the ministry, and one of the things that I tell the ladies, we got to deal with the issue. You know, we can praise God, and we can receive him, but we've got to let him come in and uproot and deal with those issues. And that's what we do. We let the women know that it's a safe environment, and they can come in and they can begin to release. And as they begin to release, the Holy Spirit begin to take over. There's no healing unless God is in it. That's what I thought about.
That is so true.
There's no life unless God is in it. You know, I believe, you know, our society itself, we have so much that we deal with on a daily basis. You know, this is just not for the woman on the street. This is not just for the woman that, caught in the, you know, the prostitution, the woman that's on drugs. This is for women and men in life. You know, God has to come in and begin to deal in the areas where there has been so much offense in your life, that his light may be the light that guides you into truth. I'm so grateful that day that I went to church, that day that I received his spirit, because my life changed so. And I tell you, even today, my life is not in my hands. It's in God's hands. And through his spirit and through his guidance, I'm being led. The Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Christ. And I acknowledge him in all my ways, in all the ways. When we're out, are y'all there?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just riveted here.
Yeah,
Keep going.
We love this.
Praise God. I'm a part of a project here called the PDI Project, which is the Prostitution Diversion Initiative. And we go out once a month, and they do a sweep through Dallas, and they bring the women from the red light area, and they bring them to the point. We're out on a truck stop, and they bring them to the truck stop, and as soon as they come in, you know, I'm the first face that that they see, and I let them know we're there to help you. We're here to offer you another chance, or to let you know you have a choice. There's a judge that come out, and she comes out from 9 to 3 in the morning, and we're having court. They arrest them. They book them in. We do assessment. But most of all, I have the opportunity to introduce them to Christ.
Cool.
Let them know that I was there, and if he did it for me, surely he could do it for them. I've seen so many women come in that initiative and say, I'm tired. And when I hear them say they tired, immediately I start praying, God, give them strength. That in this point, in this moment here, God, the surrendering moment, God, let your spirit flow and be powerful enough that the hunger and thirst to be free would increase in this woman. And I've seen many of them come out and they go on with their lives. So it is. I just thank God today. I thank him because he's true.
It's such a powerful testimony. Karen, your story has made me think of a verse. I've memorized it in Greek, but I'll say it in English just to make it easier for everybody. It's Psalm 118, verses 5 to 6. It says, when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
What can they do to me?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's exactly what you were thinking. Even if it was 25 years in prison, it's like, what can mere mortals do to me? I'm surrendering.
You know what? It takes me back. I remember one night going out and coming in, and I had got a room, and I had got the drugs and everything, and I came in, and I threw the drugs and on the bed, and I began to cry, and I said, God, you know where I am, and I know you can change me within a twinkling of an eye. Why won't you change me? And I remember a song coming up, you know, is that Jesus loved me, you know, and that he hears my cry. And I wasn't strong. I didn't have anything, and I didn't have no substance. You know, I wanted to be free, but I didn't have any substance, you know. But I know the Lord heard my cry, and I just picked the drugs up and began to use again because I didn't have any power. But I wanted to be free. But I know the Lord heard my cry. And I remember those old hymns, I know the Lord, he heard my cry, and he pitied every groan, and he did just that because I'm free today. I'm free today. I'm free to give hope to other women that you can be free, that just because you were molested, just because you were a victim of incest, just because, you know, there were so many disappointments in your life, doesn't mean that you have to be bound. You can be free through Christ Jesus. That is the message of hope that I take and I live every day, because this is just not, you know, I do, this is ministry every day. I do it full time. I'm in the treatment program from the streets. I'm walking with them from the streets to the treatment program to the halfway houses, in the courts. I'm an advocate in the courts. I'm a voice for the women in the specialty courts. You know, I never would have thought my mess would be a message. But we serve an awesome, awesome God.
Well, the story that we have is the one we share about what Christ did, and your story is so powerful. What I'm curious about is, how do you work this out for yourself on a daily basis? How do you pick up your cross and deny yourself on a daily basis? What does your personal recovery walk look like?
And I'm going to give you 30 seconds or 60 seconds to think about that answer, Karen. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to come back for our last segment, and we're going to hear all about that. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser. Thanks for being on board tonight. We're glad you're here. This is Faith Radio. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser. We're so glad you're with us tonight. We're having an amazing conversation with Karen Green. Karen has a ministry in Dallas called Haven of Love. And if you want to visit her website, you go to havenoflove.net. You can learn more about her and see what she's doing and connect the face to the voice and the story. And George, you had a question for Karen right before break.
Great story, very powerful.
You probably can't remember it.
No, I can't.
Your advancing age.
Yeah, advancing age. Yeah. Karen, what I was curious about is, how do you walk this out, your recovery, your walk with Jesus on a daily basis? What do you do for Karen?
I surrender every day. I stay in my word, because the word is what keeps you. I pray. And let me just say, my life is a prayer. You know, I have a constant conversation with God, ongoing conversation with God all day long. Because, you know, it's Him. It's about Him. You know, when I get ready to go into courts, I say, God, this is your will. Order my footsteps. Order the things that I'm saying, God. Help me to help somebody today. You know, so I prepare myself in a surrendering mold. And, I eat the word of God. I eat it. You know, the Bible said He watches over His word to perform it, you know. So I make sure the word is in there, that God would just use me as His vessel to pour into these women. And I just stay prayerful. I just stay prayerful. I live a surrendered life, because I know I'm nothing without Him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing without the Lord. Nothing.
Karen,
I just
thank Him
every day.
Karen, you said something earlier in the discussion tonight, which really triggered something with me when you talked about dealing with the root cause. And
yes.
Early on in the discussion, you had mentioned that your mother was not standing up for your side of the story. In a way, she was not believing you, and you were feeling rejected by your own mother. Is that fair?
That's not fair.
Is that not true?
No. But you let me just say this, because my mother gave me what she had.
Sure.
I forgave my mom, because I believe if my mother knew better, she would have done better.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, she didn't have a place where, like we have today, we have support groups. We have groups that deal with sexual abuse. We have all these things, right, you know, that women can come and really be strengthened. My mother had 5 children that she had to support, and I believe she did the best she could. And I believe because of the things she went through and in life, you know, she just gave me what she had.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was an abused woman too, you know. So a lot of times she lived out of her pain, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in my forgiveness, I, you know what I did? I thought about myself as being that woman. And what would I have done if God hadn't placed the things or the people that he had in place for me that would help me to see or help me to, you know, begin to deal with the issue? My mother was a hurting woman. She was. But I forgave her, and I had to, you know, really just come to grips that she gave me what she had to give. And
people can only really give what they have to give, and that
right.
That's very compassionate and kind. So I think that's very, very sweet.
Well, the forgiveness, Bill, too, is only possible through Jesus. We know we're forgiven, and we need to forgive others. And there's a, I can't think of the exact address of the verse, but by the same standards that we judge others, we're going to be judged by. And I think that goes a couple ways. I think God looks at me the way I look at other people in that judgmental, but also how I judge others is how I judge myself. And I liked what Karen said there, Bill, about, you know, I'm the same woman. And we all are basically alike apart from Jesus. We're all broken. We're all lost. We all do the best we can. And when we find the forgiveness and redemption from Jesus, we want to share that with other people, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But we got to get at the resentments and fears. You talked earlier, Karen, you know, about getting down to the root. And, Bill, I think we've got to get down to causes and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe stopping a behavior is great, but abstinence isn't going to get us a relationship with Jesus Christ.
And it's not going to keep us.
Absolutely. Yep.
We have to have that relationship. We have to have the power. In those steps, it says, a power greater than myself. You hear what I'm saying? You said earlier, there's a way, you know, that man take, and the end of that way is death, you know? So we have to have something greater than ourselves. And that power we need is Jesus Christ. You know, we can try all manner of things, but if God is not in it, it's nothing.
Jesus is the only one that can cancel your ticket to hell.
Come on. And we're not even talking about just living
right.
free in your heart, free. You know, I didn't know what peace was. Good God, I didn't know what peace was. And my life was so cluttered with so much hurt, so much pain, so much confusion. For 36, 37 years, I lived like that. One day I woke up and there was peace in Jesus. And I said, God, if this is what it is serving you, I'm not going to let you go. You know? So it is something when you serve the Lord. Oh, I love him. I love the Lord. Oh, I love him. You know, real people. You know, and not too many people can be real, but I'm just real, you know. You know, if you never show people your wounds, they cannot see Jesus. You know, we walk around and we look good and we can talk a good game. But when people see your wounds, they see Jesus. Because if they know you made it through, then they know that they can make it through. I don't care if it's the woman in corporate America or if the woman that's on the street. When you show them the wound, and so did Jesus do that? Yes, he did. There's hope for you. So I find strength in that. I find strength in that.
I appreciate you, you know, sharing your experience, strength, and hope in Jesus with us tonight, Karen, because you've helped my walk a lot. The peace part, when I get out of walking with Jesus, when I get off the beam, that's the first thing that goes for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when I pulled even closer. God, where are you? Where are you? And I remember this lady telling me, she said, you know, sometimes you have to lay out prostrate, before the Lord. And when I feel those times, I know God is still there. You know, the Bible tells me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. The Bible tells me that he is going to present me faultless before the glory. So I know he's there. I know he's there when I don't feel him, you know. Sometimes my mind's not there. But I lay my body and say, God, you know, my mind is kind of cluttered today, but I'm going to lay my body here to let you know I know you're here with me. Give me your peace. Give me your love today. And when I cry out, God hears. He's a God that answers. He answers. So I know what it is. I hear you. I hear you.
Karen, isn't it nice to know that God has always loved you with an everlasting love? Always.
Oh my God.
In Romans, it says that he demonstrated his love for us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. That's been everlasting love that he's had for you always.
Oh, my God. When I look back over my life and I say, God, I know it was you. Because could nobody have kept me but you, but your power. And I'm so grateful. That's the reason why I get up. That's the reason why I go like I go. Because I know that he loves me. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me with everything, everything. So, you can get me caught up with the Lord now. You don't want me.
But you have been transformed. There's no question.
Oh, my God. He gave me a new mind. He gave me a new spirit. My nature changed. You know, that's what about serving God. He changed your nature. I'm going to say this because in recovery, that's something that is very important, you know, getting in the Word and going before the Lord, because God literally gives you a new nature. You know, a lot of times they talk about the cravings and the mind, but when you get before the Lord and God really comes in, he changes your very nature. He changes your very desires. He changed your, I'm telling you, this God is so real. He's real. He's real. And I believe, you know, those who are going through, you know, looking for the answer, they really need to know that the answer is him, and he is real. And I want to say, he hears you. He hears your cry. He never left you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know him, he knows you.
That is so true.
He knows you. Amen. Amen. So I thank God today. Thank him for his saving grace. And thank him for being who he is, his redemptive love.
Yeah. We've been talking tonight to Karen Green. And if you would like to learn more about Karen and learn more about her ministry, we'll post it on the website for sure. You can see it there. But if you want to check it out tonight, go to havenoflove.net. You never have to say the www anymore, do you, George? Isn't that just kind of a given?
Right.
Yeah, so just havenoflove.net, and you'll get all the way to Karen's website, and you can give her probably a note of encouragement. If there's probably a place to say, hey, Karen, we loved your testimony, and be sure and do that. That's encouraging in the body of Christ, and we love that. And Karen, thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight. We just were thrilled to have you as a guest, and we will continue to pray that your ministry is everything God wants it to be.
Thanks, Karen. It's fabulous.
You. It's so nice meeting you. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to give this hope that was so freely given to me.
Well, you did a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, I'm going to fire George and hire you as the co-host.
Oh, no.
So if you're open to that, let me know. I probably shouldn't have said
that
on the
air.
Can
you fire me in Greek? Can you?
I know how to say it in Greek, so
okay.
I probably will.
So that would be nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening to Real Recovery tonight. We're glad you joined in. It's the power of Christ to change lives. That's what we do on the show, is we encourage people through the Word of God, through the power of Christ, to examine their life and to surrender it to him. That's where your strength is going to be. That's where transformation is going to take place. And that's it. I hope you have a great, great week, and stay strong in the faith. Good night, everybody, and God bless.